This is the Toronto Today podcast. I'm your host, Greg Brady.
So big announcement coming in Alliston, Ontario this morning with Honda being present. Lots of execs from Honda, the Prime Minister, the Premier, both there as well. We've seen these announcements before. This one ends up being a little different and for very significant reasons. I want to bring on Flavio Volpe, President at the Auto Parts Manufacturers Association of Canada, joins us now on Toronto Today. It's nice to have you on.
For having me back on.
Of course, man. Anytime. By the way, I know you're upset about the Leafs game last night. You tweeted, anyone but Marchand. Wouldn't you love to have a player like that on your team?
That's all I was thinking. I thought everybody hates this guy except for Bostonians.
There's not enough hateable Leafs. Like, they look and go, yeah, play Ryan Reeves more. That's good for us. We don't mind if you do that. Yeah. Well, there's always, I was going to say next year, but there's always game 4 Saturday night. We're not at next year just yet. Tell me what today's announcement and today's presentation is and how it differs from what we saw. We saw in St. Thomas, big investment from Volkswagen, but that was more about batteries in the cars themselves and Stellantis down in Windsor. Today seems a little more, you're spreading the wings a little bit wider. This is more a good news thing than even those places were.
Yeah. Look, I'm on my way up there for the news. This is exciting. The number that you're going to hear today and your listeners are hearing is $15 billion. But I want to clarify that that's what Honda's investing in Ontario and Canada. You know, the last few deals we've been hearing about numbers that big, but that's, you know, what the trailing subsidy might be from the federal government. This is a company that is going to announce, it's one of the world's best automakers who's been making cars in Ontario since 1986, doubling down, making an investment that is bigger than any other investment I've seen in North America. The second biggest one was an $11 billion Ford investment in Kentucky and Tennessee. They're going to make cars and batteries, but you're going to hear a lot about the supply chain investments that they're going to partner with or do directly. It's a real vote of confidence in the workforce, in the supply chain, and in the business proposition of using Canada as the place to supply the U.S., and in Honda's case, supplying Civics and future product to Europe from Alliston, Ontario.
You called it a big bet on the part of Honda. Is it a bet on us in Ontario, or is it a bet on electric vehicles, period, or a bit of both?
It's a bit of both, and I think Honda and Toyota have been rather sanguine about what electrification looks like. You know, we've seen a lot of analysts criticize the two of them, say, well, they're not in fast enough or hard enough. Their predictions are that instead of 100% electrification by 2035, it might be 35 or 40%. But their bet is 80% of the cars that we make in Canada, so about 1.6 of the 2 million cars we make a year, end up for export in the U.S. The U.S. market is 17 million cars a year. So if 35, 40% of that electrified, we're talking about 7 million cars a year. And so Honda's making a bet that they can serve that market with electric Hondas from Alliston. And I think that's an important distinction for all of us to understand. They could have done that in Ohio, where they have a massive campus. But they have a more stable and better educated workforce here. And we've got that supply chain that can't be easily dismissed to get the stuff out of the ground. But almost as important, got 120,000 people who are making components that make up these Hondas.
I think that's exciting to hear. And the education of the workforce is one thing, because I think we obviously would make the case, and it's been this way since, well, not just NAFTA, but when the free trade agreement was signed in 88, you and I were a lot younger then, but people worried considerably that every auto manufacturer would take their business to Mexico, let alone the United States. We wouldn't have many places like Alliston or like what we've had in Ingersoll and some other plants before. Why have we been able to stabilize this, even though labor might be cheaper somewhere else?
Well, it's a couple things. Number one, places like Alliston provide stability. This is the largest single employment site for any single employer in the country. And so you build a campus, you build the capabilities in a spot, and people in Canada in manufacturing stay with their companies. They have a term, an average term of 120 months, where in other places you're looking for new people you know, in some cases every few months. The other thing is that, look, labor is an important cost component of a vehicle, but it might be your all-in cost might be $50 an hour times, you know, 20 hours to make a car. That's $1,000 of a $25,000 or $50,000 car. We were worried in the past that people would run to go and pay somebody else $3 or $6 an hour, but it's just not a big enough component of a car to take a risk as a car company to go someplace where your conditions are less stable.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Obviously, this is also about jobs, and this is about younger people getting jobs. And the one thing the auto industry, Flavio, I think we'd make the case, has provided is it's often been a career and not a job. No one's promised a career no matter what they do. You and I sure aren't. So, but the bottom line is we can start young people doing this, and hopefully it is something that lasts 10, 15 years instead of just two or three. Is that the hope for a moment like this today?
Yeah, you're hitting the core of what makes this exciting, is that if you're going to convince somebody who's 18 or 20 or 25 to go into automotive, the last 10, 15 years or so, you know, people have been worried about their job. They've been worried that that pickup truck that we're making or that SUV that we're making isn't going to be renewed in 5 or 6 years. And so as much as you can pay people, they're always looking for something else that's going to be a little bit more stable, where you can try to start a life on, a family or whatever. Because we're electrifying, and because these are forward investments by the world's biggest companies and not startups, you know, you can convince people to say, look, they're going to hybridize, they're going to electrify, they're going to do fuel cell, they're going to do a connected autonomous vehicles from these these high voltage platforms. Think of this is the global lead plant for Honda in this space. You get a job there if you want to. You can think of yourself in the various stages of your life and your career. And I think we'll do two things. We'll give people more confidence, but also be able to recruit the best people to help reinforce this cycle of investment. And that 20 years from now, when Honda makes its next $40 billion investment, it'll be because they've been here for 60 years and it's always worked out.
What kind of promise do you want to see, or at least a pledge, if that's less than a promise, that these jobs are for Canadians, that these jobs are for young men and women that live here in Ontario? I'm sure you've seen the reports in Windsor that there's concern. Even the mayor has weighed in on what Stellantis has done, bringing in workers from overseas. It's thought they know the setup better. Eventually, they'll do what they need to do. They'll get paid. They'll go back, and those jobs will be Canadian. But this is part and parcel. There's no point in doing this if Canadians aren't employed in a way.
Yeah, you're right, and I think the government is learning every time they do these partnerships. In that case, you know, this is very specialized equipment that gets set up, and you're buying it from companies that have to warranty them. So they turn around and say, look, we've got to bring in our specialists to set them up. Otherwise, we're going to void those warranties. We've learned, and I know that this has been part of the discussions of the latest rounds, including this one, but also other ones that are on tap here, that we want to see written commitments and covenants to these are, especially in the mid to long term, Canadian jobs, period. Otherwise, you know, you don't qualify for some of the trailing subsidies. I know, even in the Stellantis case, that long-term, like meaning after the setup in the next year or so, those are all local jobs.
Yeah.
The Korean specialists that showed up there are there for warranty reasons. But, you know, hey, listen, if we had done enough advanced planning, we probably could have found a few hundred Canadians who do that business to do some of that warrantable installation work too.
All right. Safe travels to Alliston, and thanks for the time this morning. I always appreciate your contributions.
Anytime. Thank you.
There's Flavio Volpe joining us. And again, there's so many. He is, of course, the president of the Automotive and Manufacturers Association of Canada. I think that's important stuff to lay out. The commitment that comes from Honda to say these are Canadian jobs. Not only are they jobs, but they're careers as well. And by the way, the onus eventually will be on that balance between government subsidies, government incentives for people to buy the cars. The 2035 federal mandate worries me. How could it not worry people? It's 11 years away.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Today podcast. We drop the highlights of The Daily Show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. Don't forget, you can hear the entire show on the radio, at home, on your smart speaker. Ask Alexa or say, hey, Google, play 640 Toronto or Toronto Today. You can hear us on between 5:30 and 9 weekdays on 640 Toronto. Have a great day.